Gloria Steinem, will you take a trip into the past with me, an oral trip, an oral journey?
Does it involve something I once said?
Yeah, that and some other things, too. Listen,
all right,
with
I'll
me.
Try.
Taking you back to a day at the end of January 1972. This is a moment from All Things Considered on that day when there was this news that we wanted to bring our listeners.
A new magazine is appearing on the newsstands this week. It is staffed by women, published by women, with illustrations and photographs taken by women. M.S. is edited by feminist writer Gloria Steinem. Two women from National Public Radio staff, Susan Stamberg and Linda Wertheimer, looked at the magazine.
M.S., Ms., capital M, small s, period. A salutation recommended by secretarial handbooks for use when a woman's marital status is unknown. Editor Gloria Steinem spoke with me recently about what her magazine is trying to do.
I feel that I am, even I and lots of other women, are very isolated from each other, so that we need a magazine that's a kind of consciousness-raising group in itself, a friend, you know, that comes into your house and is something that really tells the truth about your life and that will help change life instead of just offering an escape.
The standard-bearing article in this first issue is by Jane O'Reilly, The Housewife's Moment of Truth, it's called, and it stands as a summation of many of the ideas. We're listening to tape from the All Things Considered archives, 10-year-old tape, and talking with Gloria Steinem now about the 10th anniversary of the magazine Ms. There was so much that had to be explained in those days.
And I'm so glad you played that tape, because I didn't hear it the first time around, and it explains to me why I've become your devoted listener.
How sweet. Well, what caught my ear in listening to that is what's true for us, for you, in listening to your voice, is in a way true, I think, for the people who've read that magazine in these last 10 years. We sure feel more confident these days, and we speak more confidently. It's not just simply a matter of age. It's that something has happened in these 10 years that allows that, and you don't have to explain so much.
No, that's true, but I think the change you describe is exactly the right one, because the 10 years has brought an enormous change in consciousness and confidence and our knowledge of what the problems really are, and the nation's knowledge of what the problems really are. We haven't really made very much institutional change, but we have made an overwhelming populist consciousness change that must precede it.
Yeah, it's interesting what you're saying about institutional changes and the lack of them, because the women's movement has just gone through an incredible defeat, and that is seeing the death, essentially, of the Equal Rights Amendment. Down but not out.
Yes, it will be reintroduced again. It's the temporary death. I think that also has to do with our lack of knowledge of history, at least in my case. I think if I had not been taught in my history books that women were given the vote, that was the entire treatment, that one sentence of 100 or 150 years of struggle to change the Constitution, I might have been less naive about how long it would take. Having seen, learned about the struggle for legal identity, how long it would take to gain legal equality. We were naive in many ways. We thought that if we went to state legislators and demonstrated to them convincingly that the majority of their constituents supported the Equal Rights Amendment, they would vote for it. But we forgot that the majority of their constituents don't vote them in. It's particular interests. And so in many cases, they simply wouldn't listen.
I must say, I was struck at the end of this last defeat, when the Springfield women ended their fast in defeat, when the ERA went down, at the kind of stiff upper-lippedness that was so publicly demonstrated by the official speakers, by you and so many others. Why wasn't there room? Women are always talking about making room for feelings and making room for an honest expression of defeat and of grief. Why wasn't that kind of space made?
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe we're too worried about our stereotype of being emotional, or too concerned that the country is going to blame the victim one more time instead of the legislatures. But there was also a lot of anger. And the statement of mine that got the most response from women, now that you mentioned it, did have to do with talking about that anger. That is, I was saying that for me personally anyway, if the majority of the country had not supported the Equal Rights Amendment by now, I would have felt defeated and that we had to go back to the drawing board and depressed. Mm-hmm. But since the overwhelming majority does, and still it didn't pass, I felt anger. And that seemed to be the single theme to which most women responded.
There have been bad losses, though, of extremely good women whose voices are no longer heard in public forums. Bella Abzug is one example. Yvonne Braithwaite-Burk is another. Shirley Chisholm, who is leaving the House of Representatives now. That is a tremendous blow.
I think that cumulatively they are all casualties of the political structure and the pressures of the political structure as it exists. It's not a very humane world. I mean, women moving into the work world have this problem to a lesser degree, or maybe not to a lesser degree, in lots of other areas. Women, and I think many men too, are concerned with the inhumanity of the workplace. And if we are to be whole people, whether we're men or women, if we're to make time in our lives for children or for pursuits in addition to our jobs and not be workaholics, we are going to have to transform that structure.
Gloria Steinem, a founder of Ms. Magazine. Ms. is celebrating its 10th anniversary.